Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, I just said it's okay now. So thank you so much, Kathy, for joining us tonight to share with us information about the hospice labor. We did send out to everybody who has registered the PowerPoint that you sent in. Does everybody have that, or does anybody need me to resend it to them?
I got it.
Okay. I assume everybody has it then. So, Kathy, if you want to just go ahead, and do you want people to ask questions as we go, or do you want to wait till the end?
Questions as we go is fine.
Okay. All right. So if you have any questions as we go, do ask. I'm going to put myself on mute so that if my children come in, we don't doesn't interrupt you. But if I have a question, I'll take it off, and then when you're done, too, I'll take myself off mute. Okay?
Okay.
So go ahead. Thank you.
All right. Well, Children's Hospice Services waiver was started on July 1st of this year after a mandate from this last legislation session. So they saw that there was a need to have some changes in the hospice services for children, so they asked that we would take it on. And as a result, that's why we have this service now. And so the purpose of this service is to support families so that they can care for their hospice-eligible child in their homes as long as possible. So it's still a family choice if they want to, at a later date, things change and they need to go in the hospital or to a traditional hospice. That is an option still for them. It's also to assist in avoiding lengthy hospital stays or institutional care. So they do have an option of, you know, to take them home and to take care of them at their home with services. And it allows families access to treatment that focuses on curative care at the same time as doing hospice care. Hello?
Hello?
Is everybody still there?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Kathy, once all people pop in or mute themselves, sometimes you'll hear a beep. So
okay. I got multiple beeps, that's what I was wondering.
yeah, so it's good. It's so good.
Okay. So who this waiver benefits are children between the ages of 0 and 22 up to their 22nd birthday. And what we mean by a life-limiting diagnosis is a diagnosis that has been given by a primary physician that either an illness or disease which will result in the possible death of a child. And for this program, the doctors have to be looking at the last year, possibly the last year of life. So that's something to keep in mind. Any child family who needs hospice services or wants to continue to look for a treatment or cure are eligible for this program. And the reason for the treatment and cure is so important is because under regular hospice, you need to sign a waiver, or not a waiver, but a form that says that you are no longer looking for a cure and that you have only 6 months left to live. And we all know that nobody can do that for a child. So we got rid of that statement. You no longer have to sign that, so you can look for a cure at the same time as looking at dealing with the possibility of the death of the child. Okay. As I said, up to the 22nd birthday, they're eligible. And how to get into the program is that you must receive a letter from your primary doctor stating that your child has a life-limiting diagnosis and that we do have the hospice physician of the family's choice confirm that diagnosis is a possibility of life-limiting. And the enrollment is limited up to 30 children per year.
Okay. So, Kathy, just for... So they need a letter from their physician, but you also have a physician that you guys use to confirm that? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Correct. Basically, okay. What it is the primary physician gives the diagnosis and says, okay, we're looking at the last year of life. If you'd like to have this program, I can write the letter. And just to confirm it and make sure that the hospice agency that runs our nursing case management and some of the services through them are agreeing with it, then we have that as a secondary authorization. And CMS requires that to have two authorizations or more because they just don't want to take one word. So we always have to have a confirming. Same with service plans. If we have a service plan and the case manager says it's authorized, then it has to be sent to the state office to be authorized also. So we have
At that point, would they review medical records too, or is there
We're just looking at the diagnosis and saying yes or no, that's completely possible at this time. It's
okay,
not a complicated,
so only...
just a doctor saying
okay.
The hospice physician saying, yes, that is something.
Right.
Kathy, this is Vicki. I had a question. on your child with a life-limiting diagnosis, and you said that the diagnosis is possibly in their last year, and as long as they're looking, they still are able under this to continue looking for a cure. So if that illness or disease goes beyond that year, are there any limitations after that?
No, they can stay on if it's still, you know, we're not going to say they have to, only has 365 days and they have to be done. We know that children fluctuate back and forth, and we understand that some days are good days and some days are not. And so if they go past that year, it's not a problem. We just do the level of care again.
Okay, so if a physician says 6 months to a year, you're good, and then if a physician says 2 to 5 years, you can't, that's
we're
not
gonna have
like...
The hospice agency says maybe longer, but the physician's saying, you know, we're going to say, well, why are you guys seeing difference?
Okay.
And those kind of things are discussions out there. We're not going to say that they're written in stone that way. But usually the primary doctor has got a better handle on what's going on and knows the history of that child and will be able to make that decision better. And we'll just make a discussion about, okay, why are we seeing such a difference? What's the biggest differences? You know, and maybe we'll look at the other waiver we have, which is medical fragile. Maybe they fit that better there. You know, in the meantime.
This is sort of along the same lines, I think. My question is that then if you have two, your physician and the primary physician, if they disagree, that's along the same line, you just sort of have a discussion. How do you work that out then?
It would be during the discussion. We would have to find out why the hospice agency is saying no and why, you know, and we'd have to talk with those doctors and see where we are at and what, you know, I don't see that's going to be happening. You know, because when a child is to the last year of life, that's pretty, got some very specific things that they're looking at. You know, and so I think the doctors have a discussion with each other even, you know, would be able to come up with that decision. But I would think that we would be going towards, lean towards heavily towards the primary physician since he is the one that has the history.
Thank you.
Was there another question?
Kathy, it's Denine. You know, we've had some families that have been recommended by a physician or someone else to start receiving palliative care. Do they have to watch the language that they utilize when they're, you know what I'm saying?
Are you looking for pain management care or end-of-life care?
Well, some are using the word you know, they're using it in the same manner,
mm-hmm.
palliative care. So I'm guessing they'll need to get pretty specific.
Yes.
Okay.
And we would have, you know, once a child is on the PROM, you jump ahead, we would have a service plan where we would sit down with the family and the doctors and the nurses and look at what's going on, you know, and what services the family is needing in that home, you know, because this is a waiver, so we only have certain services available. And as you guys have read through the PowerPoint, since you got it beforehand, you know, the services are, palliative care is one of them. So.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, very good.
Okay. So going on, you know, the services that are available on this waiver are the state, you have to be on Medicaid, which isn't such a big deal because it is a waiver. Therefore, that means that the child is eligible for Medicaid on child income only. So we're not looking at full family income. We're looking only at child income for Medicaid. And no children, I shouldn't say no children, but most children do not have an income, so they have a zero balance, so they are eligible for Medicaid through the waiver. Okay, so services that the waiver has is case management, which is the registered nurse from the hospice agency of the parent's choice. And they will help the families get services needed, plan for emergencies. You know, if your child does fall down, where are we going to go with the, what's the progression, you know, and those kind of things. And help complete paperwork, that lovely thing of paperwork. Yeah, their first service is home health aid, which is unique because it does two things for the family. It does home health services, but... while using home health services under Medicaid state plan, which is so many hours up until a point, during that time you can also use this service as a respite. So that this, you know, provides skilled respite for the family. So if they would like to go to a family function for another child and this child is too sick to go, that home health aide can stay in the home and take care of that child when they go and do those kind of things.
Kathy, is there a limit on the hours?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I didn't pull it out. Let me grab that real quick. Under home health aid, we are looking at, let me double check. About 76 hours per year.
Good. And let me ask a question then on that, Kathy. If it was determined by, let's say, an interperiodic screen under EPSDT that they should have more than the 76 hours, could they potentially ask for that if it was medically necessary?
Okay, the 76 hours are just this waiver. That's not including what's on the state plan. Okay, so if you get home health hours through the state plan, you have to maximize on those before these hours are used, unless you're using these for strictly respite.
Kathy, this is Roxanne. What type of qualifications does this home health aid need to have?
Qualifications for home health aid? You're asking the questions I haven't looked up.
We planned this. No, I'm kidding.
You guys are just testing me.
Yep.
Okay. You know, if I could find Part C in the waiver. Being it's a new waiver, I don't have my earmarks in either. We did say health agency and a hospice agency. Yep. So they have to be a licensed hospice or home health agency.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, now you guys can answer all your questions because now I got all my papers out here. Okay, so going on with the PowerPoint under skilled nursing, so it's nurses that provide services that are preventative, curative, and restorative, and this service may be available other after the Medicaid limits have been reached also. So you have skilled nursing through the state plan, and then you'd also have, after that, skilled nursing. Okay, and home health aides and skilled nursing can be in at the same time if they have duties that are separate. If there's something the child needs that needs a nursing attention, that nurse can come in and do that during the same time as the home health aide is there. Okay? Then we have hospice, which is very similar to the traditional hospice, except that it's got the curative measures part of it. So basically, as a child progresses, they can go from home health aide to skilled nursing to hospice, and then to palliative care. There's a progression. They can also fluctuate back up this ladder, too, depending on how they're doing and how things are changing.
And, Kathy, let me ask this. Let's just say the family is unsure of where they want to receive their skilled nursing care or home health aid. Is that something that you help them locate or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
During the process of getting eligibility and stuff like that, we'll talk about it. We will gladly set them up with interviews to talk to this nursing, see if that's somebody that clicks with their family.
Okay.
Kind of things, you know, because it's a stressful time. They need to have somebody they can trust in there. And also, I can go to all the meetings also, just the same as the medical fragile, to help them and help the whole team get together and understand the program.
Okay. Great.
Okay. And then palliative care is supportive health care given to the child to meet physical, emotional, spiritual, and social stressors experienced in the last stages of the illness. And then we have the unique thing of expressive therapy, which is the use of art therapy, music, play activities for the child and their siblings to attend to deal with the stressors of the possible death or the illness of the child in the home. And then we also have grief counseling. And this is unique in the fact that it's got two parts. It's got pre-counseling that you can do prior to the child's death, so the family can talk about what's going on and the emotions of how to do it and what to do to let go. And then also it's available to the family after the death of the child, up to 6 months after. And the family decides, prior to death of child, family has to indicate whether or not they want the service after death because of payment issues. but the family can indicate that they want to do it 1 month or every month or maybe every other month, however they want to do the counseling after death, then we set that up.
Okay. Kathy, what kind of training do you require or licensing or that type
for
of
which?
For any of these cares?
The nursing, the hospice, home health, palliative care, and the skilled nursing are all hospice agencies and home health agencies.
Oh, you said that already. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And the expressive therapy and the counseling, bereavement counseling, is licensed professional clinical counselors and licensed independent social workers attached to a human service center. And child psychologists and psychiatrists, and they must all have experience working with children. That must be on their board of examinations and stuff.
Okay. So they don't necessarily need their degree in, like, play therapy. I mean, we have some play therapists licensed in the state. They don't necessarily need that.
No, they have to have experience working with the children and that kind of thing. And unfortunately, the independent play therapists don't have the credentials to bill Medicaid, but they have to be attached to a human service center. So if they're attached to a human service center and can bill through them, then they can do it.
Right.
Okay. Okay, and what is gained by this?
Kathy, can I ask one more service question? It's Roxanne.
Of course.
What's the difference, and maybe I should just know this, but I can't really decipher. I don't know enough about hospice care to know the difference between what hospice, like the service of hospice is, and palliative care.
Okay, the way we broke it down is palliative care in this waiver is for the last couple days of their life. Be like the last 2 days when you're just doing pain management, basically, and making them comfortable. Hospice is for a longer term of care, you know,
okay,
so that it might be a couple months.
Okay, but I don't know what's actually, I mean, when you say hospice, is it like a nurse monitoring, you know, kind of body function and vitals and those kinds of things?
Vital functions, vitals, could be administering medications, IVs, orals.
So how often could that be? Hour a week to 6 hours a week? I don't know.
Yeah. It would be up to the physician because the physician would be making the orders. You know, and so they would use the state plan, and then after they maximize that, then they would use the additional hours through the waiver.
So they would use the state plan hospice?
More of the nursing part. It would come out of the nursing area. Trying to get to the page. Let's
Are you
see.
Talking level 2 care through the state plan first?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know. I maybe need to see. So because the person who does hospice is a nurse, correct?
Correct. If that is what's needed. Either it's a nurse or a CNA, depending on what the need is and where the level of licensure needs to be. And that's up to the hospice. The hospice agencies have all that figured out. Okay, but the hospice through this waiver is up to 74 hours of waiver services per year. So it could be that they need so much nursing care that they need the hospice area because it's over the skilled nursing. So it's a higher level of nursing care. Okay. And then the palliative care is maybe the last 2 or 3 days of their life just to monitor the pain meds, you know, if they're on morphine or anything like that in the home.
So, okay, so this is where I get confused, and I apologize. But you wrote the waiver because just state plan hospice, correct, won't account for other if you're in getting state plan hospice, I don't even know if I can say that what I'm thinking, you can't also be looking for a cure.
That's part of it, correct. You can also only be on state plan hospice for 6 months.
Okay. But people who are on this waiver still have to access state plan hospice.
No. No.
Well, it says...
We're calling it hospice, but it's not... It's mirrors some of the services that hospice does. The nurse monitoring, the medications, you know...
I know, but what's confusing me, Kathy, is you're saying that the other Medicaid limits have to be reached before you can tap into this.
Not the hospice. That would be the skilled nursing and the home health aide.
But when I look at hospice, it says this service is available after their Medicaid limits have been reached. So by that, you mean the other services.
Yeah, we'd maximize the nursing services, and then we'd use this if we need to. Or if the nursing services don't fit that, then we would use this. It's based on what the child's needs are.
Okay.
And the level of care that they're needing.
Okay.
Okay? It gets confusing, I know, when you don't see it on paper and you're not working your walk through it. You know, but it's, they're allowing the services, you know, that if they need to come in and do stretching exercises and those kind of things, the OT and PTs, to keep them mobile, then those are things that come in.
So is that a hospice service then?
That's a traditional hospice service, yes. But we would be doing it through this hospice, not traditional hospice. It's mirroring the hospice, traditional hospice, you know, the services that are available there. But we are not doing the 6 months, and we are not doing the non-cure. So we are able to do, if the doctor comes in and says, this is something we want to try for possibly curing this part of it, then those are things we can try. Whereas under traditional hospice, if they said that, we couldn't do it.
Okay.
Any other questions about services? And these are the questions that we're going to need to do and we walk through when we do our care plans and service plans with the families, that we're there to help them decide and help them make sure that they're doing the right thing. And if it needs to be changed, it can be changed. Nothing of this is written in stone. It's a flowing plan that will constantly be moving and probably rapidly moving too. Okay? Okay, then what's being gained is the child is receiving hospice service, quote, traditional sort of hospice. I don't know if that's really the right way to put that, but also being able to look for cures and try out cures. And they also run Medicaid, which will allow reimbursement through co-payments and other insurances after billed, so it might help alleviate some of the medical costs of the family. And case management services to assist the family making educated choices for care of the child. So somebody else there to say, hey, what do you think, and is this something that's going to work or not work in our home? Okay, way to apply for the services is there's an application. It's not on the web yet. It was supposed to be, but it's not there. So just give me a call, and we can walk through the application, and I can mail one out to you or to anybody else. Really give out my phone number to anybody who wants to talk about the program or are looking for services. They need to obtain a letter from their child's doctor describing a life-limiting diagnosis. And we need to complete a level of care, which is something that I do, and it's easily done over the phone. It's a computer program that I fill out and submit, and then the nurses on the other end say yes or no to the nursing home level of care. And then receive a confirmation from a hospice doctor for the family's choice of diagnosis, which is just sending off the diagnosis to the hospice agency of their choice, which the family chooses during the eligibility process. And then the child needs to be on Medicaid prior to services starting.
When did this waiver begin?
July 1st.
July 1st.
Any other questions?
Do you currently have any applications for this?
No, I do not. I do have multiple hospice agencies that are talking with me. I'm talking with them this next month also on how to become providers and what the services are that they can apply to the families.
Kathy, this and I'm just, I don't know, I'm just thinking, but what if you have a kiddo that's on a waiver through DD case management?
Unfortunately, they'd have to choose which waiver is most appropriate for the family. The feds have it stated that they can only be on one waiver at a time.
Okay.
Oh, they couldn't have both.
No, unfortunately, we can't yet. We're working on it. We're trying to convince CMS that's something that would be beneficial. But as it states right now, a child or anybody can only be on one waiver at a time.
So, Kathy, I have a question. This is Brenda. I have a family who their little guy was sent home on hospice, just traditional hospice, but was not receiving enough hours in order to, you know, give mom and dad. I think they were getting, like, I don't know, 1 or 2 hours a week, something like that. But they were sent home on traditional hospice. But then they had to change services and get off of hospice and get on home health nursing in order to give enough hours for the parents to be able to sleep at night. Why would that happen?
I don't know. So who told them to get off of hospice to...
I believe case management advised, you know, the case management was seeking how do you get the hours that this family needs.
So the hospice saying that they could not do that? Could not fulfill the hours that they needed? Or
my understanding through traditional hospice, they didn't qualify for, just a handful of hours a week.
Was it through Medicaid that they were? Yes.
Was the child on the DD waiver?
No.
Where is the case management coming from?
My side of the state.
No.
From early intervention or the hospital?
Hospital.
Okay. I really don't know why the hospital recommended that.
And that's what, when we run across situations like that, Kathy, should we not get, like, some kind of a release for us to talk to you?
Sure. I'll gladly talk to anybody. Unfortunately, yeah, I like to talk to people. So, yeah, either that or have them, you know, give my number to the family and have them call me.
This is Roxanne again. I don't mean to be really, I just feel really dense about this, Kathy, but I'm just trying to think about helping a family try to decide. If you had a child who is under 3, and if they needed hospice, they more than likely would qualify for the traditional MRDD waiver with the under 3 criteria, right?
Probably, if there's a slot available.
But there's slots available for birth to 3 kids. I mean, we haven't had...
At the same time, they would not get the grief counseling. They would not...
Well, right. So that would be the question, is trying to help a family sort through it. But in regards to probably... They could get skilled nursing, right?
They could get
health through the state plan.
But they get home health, they would not get the respite through the home health.
But they could get respite through the traditional waiver.
And do they have to hire their own then?
Nope, they could go through the traditional waiver, so they wouldn't have to hire their own. They would be able to access, like, a level 2 respite, which would give them a nurse. So then they would miss out on having access to the grief counseling, the expressive therapy, and...
possibly palliative care and the hospice services of end of life. Depending on what the nurse is willing, you know, through the...
What the nurse, through the skilled nursing is willing, through home health is willing to do.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay, well, that was kind of helpful. No, I mean, I think it's kind of like... doing that and trying to figure it out because...
We had to look at a wide range. I mean, we're doing this from birth to 22.
Well, right, exactly, but...
So If they're
but you would have to kind of maybe do that with kids who are medically fragile.
Yep.
Too. So, I mean, because obviously you'd think they may qualify for the medically fragile waiver as well.
Yeah. The big thing about the medical fragile waiver versus a traditional waiver, like you were saying, is the IQ level. You know, so that would be a stopper for them. But for this waiver, it's going to be up basically family's choice and where they're at and what they're needing.
Right, but every time you come up against one of those cases, Kathy, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yes, and you should.
And you
have a discussion with
just
family. What
maybe
is
assume that that's the case, that the hospice waiver is the right thing or the medically fragile waiver is the right thing or the traditional waiver is the right thing. I think the difficulty that we have, and most of us on the phone would admit, is trying to figure that out at the county level when the family goes to try to access care.
You mean as far as going and getting Medicaid? Or
if they go in through the county social services door, I think that that's when it gets really it's really hard. So hopefully they're calling you or they're calling somebody.
I keep talking on mute, so I'm sorry, but I guess I'm looking at this really probably simplistically, but it seems to me this would be a place for one of those side-by-side comparison type fact sheets. I mean, it would at least be a start.
A great idea, Elaine.
And actually, to let you guys know, we are looking at working on doing that. It's in the draft stage right now of putting all the waivers on a sheet so that people can look at them and decide where they're at, because they are getting to be multiple waivers.
And you're going to keep that, you're going to do that with the MRDD waiver too, right?
It's going to have all the waivers on it.
Good.
Be great.
All the state waivers.
Mm-hmm.
Be a great starting place and a good place for people to be able to open a discussion and think about their more specific ideas.
Right.
Or problems.
And look at the services and the eligibility and say, okay, what can, first off, what do I qualify for? Second off, what's best going to fit my family? And third, what are we willing and have time to do?
Yeah.
Where's our energy level at? What do we have available to us? And what are we able to sit up and do? And how much of it can we do? Those are tough questions to ask families when they're dealing with this stuff, but it's things that need to be asked.
Well, it's a tough time for everybody, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever people can do to make it easier for the families.
Mm-hmm. And I think the fact sheet will help with that because, they get handed 20 billion pages, they're going to look at them at midnight or 3 in the morning when they're up pacing instead of right there sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
How does this compare, Kathy, to what primary insurance will cover? Obviously maybe quite a few of your families will have primary insurance as well. I don't know enough about hospice to know what primary insurance covers, or maybe it doesn't cover anything.
Primary insurance requires the no cure also. No curative measures. It's basically last 6 months, end of life.
Okay.
That's the primary big stopper for, and what family's going to use hospice when they have to do that? I personally don't think I would ever be able to sign a paper saying that I'm done in 6 months. When you're 80-some years old and been doing it, it's a personal choice. But when you're doing it to a child, I don't think that's a choice anymore.
Yeah, for a kid.
I think you keep trying no matter what.
Yep, I think so.
Any other questions? Or
I think I'm satiated. Thank you.
If you have questions after you hang up the phone, call me.
Okay.
Or we'll have coffee and talk about it some more. I don't, whatever will help.
Thank you, Kathy, so much for spending some time with us tonight and explaining it. And when you have the materials ready, will you let us know so I can get them on our website?
Which materials? The fact sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as we get that finalized and the hierarchy okaying it, we will send it out.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sure, it's all correct before I send it out.
Thanks, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Kathy.
You guys have a good night.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.